Can you believe it's December already? I mean, it seems like we just did this. I know for Danelle, it probably seems like we just did this tableau, right? For me, the tableau is one of the most beautiful expressions of the nativity that I've ever seen. And for me, it's one of the most wonderful things that we do as a church at Covenant. The stage is set as we come to proclaim the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We come together to celebrate the birth of our Lord, the incarnational reality of Emmanuel. God is with us. You heard this word repeatedly in our call to worship this morning, and I believe it is the single word that sums up the Advent season. It is the word hope. As Pastor Jay and I help you to encounter the living God through His Word during Advent season, we're going to look at the Christmas story through this lens of Emmanuel. God is with us. This mysterious yet glorious reality that the transcendent God takes on flesh. This is the hope that Israel had been waiting for. And it is the hope for us as God's people. And it is the hope that we proclaim, that we share with the non-believing world, that God is with us. But before the world sees the reality of the incarnate Christ, on that fateful morning, that very first Christmas, there's a period of waiting. It's funny how these two things go together. Waiting and hope. We don't wait for what, or we don't hope for what we have because we already have it. But waiting brings an anticipation, a hope for that which we do not yet possess. As we read through the redemptive story, there's a time of 700 years from when Isaiah first says the words that there will be a virgin that will be with child and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us, between that time and when it actually happens. And there's a 400-year period in that midst in which God is completely silent to His people. I'm certain that for Israel, this reality of Emmanuel, God with us, became much more of a question than a statement. God with us? Really? It doesn't seem like it. Israel's repeated failures in the Old Testament point progressively towards a deeper and deeper need for redemption from outside of themselves. They show repeatedly their inability to honor Yahweh. And yet in this period of the monarchy, in which the kingdom is divided, a fractured nation, and is soon to be conquered and exiled, Isaiah has the nerve to say, Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah 40 marks a new section in the writings of the prophet Isaiah, in which he prophesies to King Hezekiah that the kingdom of Judah will be no more. It will be conquered by the Babylonians. And in our passage this morning, what we're going to see is a wonderful reminder of Isaiah of what he prophesied earlier when he said, Emmanuel, God is with us. He's going to remind Israel of the greatness and the faithfulness of God, especially in a time when He seems distant. When that question comes into our mind, God with us? In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31, what we're going to see is the reality that despite our waiting, despite our struggles, despite our times of trouble, that we have the hope, that we have the faithful promise of Yahweh God, that He is with us. Let's read our text together for this morning, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. Hear the word of God. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you today as we start the season of celebrating the incarnation of your Son in the flesh. And as we come before you, Lord, we come to you with hope, with anticipation, but also with many struggles. As we engage your word this morning, our hope and our desire, my prayer, is that in a time where there should be such great joy, but yet in our world, there can be such difficulty, such pain, that you would remind us in the waiting that you are with us, that you are in our midst. Lead us today as we study. May your voice be heard in my voice. In Jesus' name, amen. As Isaiah prophesies here, there is a question posed by God to his people who are making seemingly a very reckless charge against God. He asked, why do you say my way is hidden from the Lord and my right is disregarded by my God? Israel had fallen into a trap that we fall into today. They fell into the snare of impatience, prompted by their forgetfulness. It's interesting how, just like hope and waiting go together, so do impatience and waiting. You see, there's this pendulum of waiting that happens, that swings between impatience and hope. As we remember God's faithfulness, as we remember what God has done in us and through us and for us, the pendulum of waiting swings towards hope. But as we forget what Yahweh God has done in us and through us and for us, as our forgetfulness pervades our minds, what happens is the pendulum of waiting swings towards impatience. And this is what has happened to Israel. Israel had forgotten what Yahweh God had done for them. We don't need to look any further in the story of redemption than to look at Israel to see how God had been carrying them, how He had relented from His wrath and poured out His compassion on them over and over again, being faithful to the promise that He made to Abraham. And even in the midst of exile, that this, in and of itself, was an act of mercy in light of an alternative of annihilation. And all of this had been forgotten by Israel. They said to him, our way is hidden from God. Or to say it another way, God can't see what we're going through. He has lost his ability to see me, and moreover, he no longer gives me what is rightfully mine, as the text says. My right has been disregarded by God. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like God can't see you? Like God does not know exactly what is happening in your time of trouble? Israel is taking the idea of Emmanuel and turning it into a question. God with us? God with us in the midst of exile? How can God be with us when He can't see us? How can He be with us when He doesn't give us what we rightfully deserve? Israel has made this reckless and dangerous charge against God, to which God responds with a friendly reminder of who he is and what he does. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. God had not forgotten Israel. He had not forgotten his people. His omniscience and omnipotence had not failed him. He is aware of that which has befallen Israel, and in fact is a participant in it by necessity for their own good. He had not forgotten his people. They came to God in unfaithfulness, and God was still with them in faithfulness to what he had promised. In times of trouble, when we find ourselves in calamity, it's not always because of unfaithfulness and sin in the way that Israel found themselves. We may be surrounded by all manner of unsympathizing hostility because of sin or simply because of the product of living in a fallen world. But in the midst of this, whether it's Israel's trials or your trials, when struggle comes, when we may find ourselves tempted to indulge the fretful distrust, prone to think, God has forgotten me. I cannot say God is with us. We must remember the hope that we have. And this is the reminder and the hope that we have as we see it in the Christ child at Christmas. That we see that God is aware. That God is always aware of our circumstances. And he has prepared something for us that is far better than we could ever imagine for ourselves. He has not passed us by. We have to remind ourselves that God is with us. It is God's work in the past that will emblazon our faith in the present. Whatever our inadequate emotions and reactions may tell us, God is with us. As those Jews went through the dark moments of their captivity in Babylon, and when we go through our times of turmoil, pain, and frustration, we need to have our remembrance moved and our conscience pricked to remind us that our way is not hidden from God. He is aware. In the midst of God's reminding Israel of his awareness of their circumstances, he also reminds them of his ability, his power. He says to them, "Have you not heard? The Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not grow faint or weary." One manifestation of our fallen nature is the humanistic practice of projecting onto God the things that we feel and that we experience. How could God possibly be with us? He is tired. He is weary. He has no time for us. How could he be with us? He doesn't understand my calamity. How could a God like that be with us? You're right. A God like that can't be with you. Praise be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ that we do not have a God like that. We get tired, and we want to quit, and we figure that if we do, God must as well, and we figure wrong. God reminds Israel of who he is, the creator God who made the heavens and the earth, perhaps the best expression to human beings of God's power, of God's greatness, of God's strength in creating a universe that for us is unfathomable. God reminds us, look at this. Look at this universe, all that you can see and all that you cannot see. I did that. Do you really think I need a nap? Do you really think I need some ginkgo to recharge my memory? I am God. I am with you. I know what I'm doing. I have not lost my ability to understand. I know your present circumstances. I do not grow weary. that shows the greatness and the majesty of God. That He reaches into the depths of His power in creation and shows that to us as a reminder of the fact that the God who creates that, who makes the universe unfathomable to us, but seems so majestic and so great, I am with you. I have not forgotten you. I do not lack strength. I supply it. I give power to the weak, and to those who have no might, I increase strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You see that? Even our very best, our young, who seem to have a motor that never runs out of gas, even they will grow weary and tired. They are going to do what you accuse me of. They are going to grow faint, but I will supply strength. I will always supply strength, says God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can run and run and run, and you will run in your own strength, and you will become exhausted. You will become faint. You will become weary trying to do this life all by yourself. And when you do, my hand will be there to lift you up. You are going to be so exhausted that you don't even have the strength to turn to me any longer. Be still and know that I am God. And as we are still, as we come to Him in our weakness, in our brokenness, in our lostness, He will supply strength. And He supplies strength in the most interesting way, beginning with a little child that comes to save us for our sins. He shows His ability to do the amazing in the most unlikely way. God is able. And in the midst of all this, as we see God's awareness of our struggles, as we see His ability to deliver us, we see His availability. But it comes, again, in a most interesting way. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God is completely aware, completely able, and is completely available. But we must not mistake God's availability with the obligation to act on our timetable. We live in a world today where everything is available to us immediately, where things are ever changing, where in a moment you can have as much news about a certain topic as you want. And for us, waiting is difficult. For us, waiting implies that God is not with us, but that is not the case. For Israel, they wanted God to be there on their timetable for what they wanted, and because they had forgotten God and what He had done, they had lost the ability to wait on Him. How do we receive strength from the Lord? We receive it as we wait. But the idea behind waiting is not a passive sitting and simply waiting for God to pour out what He's going to pour out for us while we sit. And while we're just tapping our foot, God, I'm waiting. And I'm still waiting. Da, na, 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 na. No. We don't expect God to come on our timetable and just wait for Him to passively pour out His blessing upon us. What we have in the phrase, waiting on the Lord, is a call to an active response by God's people. As you are waiting for me, actively remember my power. Remember what I have done for you. Remember what I have done in you. Wait on me because I have proven myself faithful to you, and I will do it again. to wait on God is to passionately pursue the living God and to pursue Him and His mighty hand and say, I know that God will deliver. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I trust in this God. Because notice how Isaiah says this. He will give us new strength? No. He will renew our strength. It is a strength that we once received, that we will receive once again, afresh, again for His people. For us, it is a strength that we have received when we first came to know Christ in weakness and no might. The strength that is to be renewed as we wait on the Lord is to be put afresh on us again. Or to say it another way, that God is going to keep supplying strength to us. And as we wait on God by seeking Him in all that He has done, in the midst of trial, He raises us up on wings like eagles. Don't lose that imagery. Eagles don't fly down here. Eagles soar high above. He will raise you up over the circumstances and the trials of life. He will raise you up over them so that you have new endurance and new strength. This was the hope for Israel, and it is the hope for us. Emmanuel, without question mark, God is with us. He is with us in our waiting. And it is the hope and anticipation that Israel had for this unlikely child that came lying in a manger. It is that same type of waiting that we have, that we trust in God when He says that He is with us, that He will be with us. And as we, even in our times of struggle, say, God with us, it will turn to a shout of acclamation. God is with us. To where we as God's people together can proclaim us with God. As we prepare with anticipation to celebrate this Advent season, the coming Emmanuel, God with us, we celebrate a time of waiting. We celebrate a time of hope. And perhaps the best expression of this we have is in the infancy narrative of Jesus. In the text that Ricky read for us this morning, this man Simeon, who's waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's waiting for God to fulfill that promise that He made in Isaiah that says, God is with us, will come through a virgin who will be with child. I can't die without seeing Jesus. That's what that text really says. I can't die without seeing the Messiah. I can't die without seeing Jesus, the Savior. And as He looks on this child, as He holds him in His hands, as He sees him for the very first time, He says, now I can die in peace because I've seen Jesus. I've longed for Him. I've lived for Him. I've waited for Him. And now my life is complete because I've gazed upon Jesus. Friends, that is Christmas. That is Advent. God is with us. As we come into Advent season, what we see in the Christ child, what we'll celebrate tonight as we have the nativity tableau, is a child lying in a manger. The full reality of God's faithful promise 700 years before that says, A virgin will be with child, and they shall call him Emmanuel. God is with us. That should prick our remembrance to remind us that in our waiting, for whatever we are waiting for, whatever circumstance we are in, even in our time of great joy, to remember that it is not our strength, but it is God's strength. That God is with us. What did you come here with today? Did you come here with that question, like Israel? God is with us? God is with me? Know that God is aware of your circumstances. That He is able to renew your strength when you are unable. That He is present with you now. That He is your Emmanuel right now. You can't, but God can. Know that His call to us today is to remember the greatness of the glory of God, His awesome power that has carried us since the day He brought us from death into life. In the midst of our waiting and in our remembering, we passionately pursue Him together as God's people this Advent season. Be like Simeon. Long for Jesus this Advent season. Live for Jesus this Advent season. Long to look upon Him in every circumstance, good and bad, this Advent season. So that there will be no question. God is with us. But for some of us today, perhaps you've trusted in yourself all too much. I believe that God is with us in this child that we celebrate in Christmas. And I know that my way has gotten me nowhere. If you are coming today and hearing this for the first time, perhaps, or maybe many times, and have yet to affirm in your own life that God is with you, know that God spoke and continues to speak through His Word and through the person of His Son for you. That today is the day of salvation for you, if you have not yet believed and trusted in what God has already done for you. God is with us. Let's pray. Our good and gracious God, we believe You. Help our unbelief. As we come to You this Christmas season, may we be reminded continually of Emmanuel, God with us. That You have not forgotten us, that You know us, and in our waitings, may we be remembrant. May we have a remembrance of You in all that we do, in all that we say, in every way that we celebrate, because You are a God worth waiting for. A God who has proven Himself faithful over and again. We thank You for fulfilling Your promise to Israel through a little child named Jesus, who would grow into a man only to die for our sins, a death that we deserved in order that we might have life. And more than that, You resurrected Him from the dead, conquering death forever. Thank You, Emmanuel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.